Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing this morning? Come on, good to see you today. Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord besides me this morning? Let me hear from you. Come on, we can do better than that. If you got your Bible this morning, turn to Romans chapter 4, and then just be patient. We'll get there. And we're going to continue this morning in our series, 10-Year Challenge. And the inspiration for the series was that thing that went kind of viral on social media back in the month of January, where people were posting pictures from 10 years ago along with a picture from today. And as I was just seeing my friends and family do that, and some of those pictures were heartwarming, and some of them were inspirational, and some of them were cautionary, and some of them were even heartbreaking, and I was watching it, and the Holy Spirit just began to just speak to me and just show me how every one of us, it's true. 10 years from now, you'll be different than you are today. 10 days from now, you'll be different than you are today. 10 weeks from now, 10 months from now, you will be a different person than you are today. And in every area of your life, every one of us, every last one of us, every area of our life, in every situation, every circumstance, you'll either be closer to God, further from God, or you'll be stuck where you're at today. And listen, I'm just telling you, people of God, as for me, there's only one good option. There's only one good option. Come on, who would agree with me that staying stuck where I'm at today, that's not a good option? How many of you would agree that backsliding and drifting from God, that's not a good option? The only good option for me in every area of my life, my heart, my mind, my marriage, my family, the things that God's called me to put my hands to, is to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, His heart, His word, His will, His ways, His plans for my life. Amen? Amen. Come on, if you agree with that, give the Lord a clap and a praise. Come on. To be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, that's the invitation, people of God, that each of us has in this year. And as we go into 2019, the Lord just spoke to me that it's a year of devotion, that it's a year that He's inviting us to draw near, to grow close, to go deep, that He's calling us to a deeper place of devotion. He's calling us to a new and fresh season of prioritization of God and God's presence and God's promises and God's people and God's purposes for our life. But it takes intentionality. The invitation of God has to be answered. Every one of us has the opportunity. Every one of us has equal opportunity with God, the invitation to press in and to draw near and to grow close and to go deeper with God. And every one of us has the same invitation, but each of us will respond differently. Some of us will press in. Some of you will press in and lean in and pursue the things of God. And you'll experience the blessings that come along with experiencing more, with pressing in and prioritizing God, according to Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the things that the world says that we have to press after and chase after and grab onto and try to gain." God says, if you'll just seek me, if you'll just prioritize me, if you'll just put me first in your life, all those other things will be added to you. I'll take care of those things that you think you've got to go out there and scramble and strive and scrape together. I'll take care of those things. I'll meet your needs. Come on, every one of us has the same invitation, but we've got to respond. And that's the heart of this series and the heart of these messages, is challenging us as the people of God to a fresh season of prioritizing God, starting in our own relationship with Him every day, prioritizing God in our homes and in our marriages, prioritizing God in this church, believing that God is who He says He is and He'll do what He says He'll do as we respond to His invitation and begin to seek Him with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. And as we turn into a new year, oftentimes we set resolutions, and I've challenged us the last couple weeks that I believe one reason we're frustrated when our resolutions fail, statistics show that almost 90% of resolutions are abandoned by the end of the month of January. And I believe it's because we set arbitrary goals that are more tied with what the culture expects of us than what God really is asking of us. And that maybe we would be better served, instead of making resolutions, to ask God for some deeper revelations about who He is and about what He's leading you to and about who He's made possible and called you to be and become. We tend to set do goals, things I'll do, things I want to accomplish. And I've challenged you that maybe we'd be better served to start setting who goals instead of do goals. Amen. Who I'm going to be and who I'm going to prioritize in my life. That if we flip that, we begin to focus on God, I'm prioritizing you. I'm making a who goal. I want to spend more time with you. I want to be closer to you. All those other things that we tend to resolve to do will begin to line up because we'll experience a grace and an empowerment from God that can only be found in His presence. And we'll begin to experience a different level of fruitfulness and effectiveness in all the things that God's called us to when we make Him first and put Him first. Amen? So we've called this 10-year challenge, and before I dig in any further to our message and a testimony that we have to share this morning, we've been taking a moment and just sharing a few of the images from some of our leaders and our staff, just sharing with you a few of these. And I think first this morning, there's Damon and Neva Heeb. Come on, aren't they a handsome couple? Give them a hand. Damon and Neva serve as marriage ministry coordinators for Rev City Church. And they do an amazing job. They are the ones that are planning, actively planning behind the scenes, the EXO conference that you guys saw beginning to be promoted. That's coming up in March. And they're going to do a great job with that. And come on, that's a shameless plug. I want to tell you, if you're married or desiring to be married, be there for the EXO conference. Look at your calendar. Look at your schedule. Mark it down. Be intentional. Make a way to be there. Set aside the $25. If you can't scrape it together, come tell us. We'll make a way for you to be there. But come on, people, I mean what I said. We'll make a way for you to be there. But $25, you got like over a month's notice. And can I tell you, we plan for, we prioritize, and we have the money for the things that are really valuable and important to us. Amen? And listen, I didn't mean to preach at you about this. I'm about to show you another picture of Damon and Neva that's really fun. But listen to me. Mark your calendars and be intentional to come and invest in your marriage in March at the EXO conference. Think about this. We take out loans and we spend 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 years to prepare ourselves for our career, for our job, for our occupation. And oftentimes we don't put nearly the intentional focus on preparing ourselves to be successful and effective and blessed at marriage. And so take some time, make some time, start budgeting towards it, budget your time, budget your finances, register today and come and be there and invest in the things that really matter in your life, amen? So there's, yeah, come on, give the Lord a hand if you appreciate it. That was my wife, I think, that started that. Hey, baby, it's Valentine's. Will you be my Valentine this week? Will you go to EXO with me? So there's Damon and Neva Heeb, who are planning and coordinating the marriage ministry of Rev City Church, and that's a recent picture. Then there's a picture from a few years back. That's Damon and Neva right there. Aren't they handsome? Damon, honestly, I gotta tell you, I didn't really recognize you, bro, from the side like that. You guys are so handsome and amazing. Thank you for serving. Thank you for putting your energy and effort and time into planning the EXO conference and the marriage ministry of Rev City Church. Come on, church, honor them one more time with a round of applause. Next, we have someone else that's really important and special to the life of this church, Pastor Micah and Adrian Barclay right there. Pastor Micah. They both grew up in this church, and Pastor Micah stepped in last year to serve as the youth pastor of our church and does a wonderful job. He's passionate about Jesus. He's passionate about those young people over there. Come on, young people, let me hear from you if you appreciate Pastor Micah. And so there's a picture from recently. Then I think we have a couple pictures of them from a few years ago. Winter formal 2006. Looking smooth, Pastor Micah. I see you, Pastor Micah. I see you working. Then we have one more of Pastor Micah and Adrian. Pastor Micah told me that was from their wedding. Adrian, he really didn't tell me that. It's just slightly funnier if I say that he did. But come on, aren't they handsome? Give it up for Micah and Adrian and Damon and Neva. Listen, what's your picture look like today? What will you become? What will you look like spiritually, physically, emotionally, relationally, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now? And I'm challenging in this series that a lot of the answer to that question is dependent upon the decisions that you make today. I might say it again later in the message, but it's worth saying right now. The pathway to your life's vision is paved by daily decision. And I've challenged you and encouraged you, don't procrastinate, don't presume, and don't put off the things that God's calling you to press into today, the things that really matter. Come on, your marriage, your family, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The pathway to who you're going to look like, what your marriage is going to look like, What your faith is going to look like and what that's going to embody is all determined by the decisions you begin making today about who you're going to be and what's going to be important to you, what you're going to make time for, what you're going to spend time on. And I'm just telling you that I believe that what God's word says is absolutely true. If we'll seek first him and his righteousness, every other thing that you have a concern or a need about, God's going to meet your needs. He's going to take care of you. Amen. Amen. Listen, I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you have a difficult situation, a trial, a tribulation, there's your picture today. If we took a picture of you today, you would see a person that was going through something difficult, something heavy that you're carrying. I want to encourage you that God is not afraid of that. That there's a way, that there's a God, that this whole book, this whole Bible is filled with real people who had real problems, real challenges, real adversities. But they presented those real challenges, real problems, real adversities to the presence of a real God who loves and cares and makes a real difference in our life. Amen? And the same that was true for them is true for you and for me. And so listen, if you're seeing all this and you're hearing these messages and you're thinking, but Pastor T, what about me? You don't know what I've been through. Listen, I don't know what you've been through, but God does. And I'm telling you, there's not a single one of you that could put up your picture of today, your snapshot, your Polaroid of today, and convince me that God was not able to enter into your life, into your circumstances, and redeem, restore, make new, make whole, and strengthen and equip you to begin to pursue the promises of God for your life. Amen? Amen. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm privileged this morning to introduce to you one of my really, really good friends who is going to share a testimony this morning. And I've heard some of this before, and he shared this picture as we were just sending out a message to some of the leaders in the church saying, send in some pictures for the 10-year challenge. And one of the pictures that he shared, I looked at and I just thought, you know what? There's a story behind this picture. There's a testimony behind this picture that deserves to be told. And there's a background to this picture that you're going to see here in a little bit, and you're going to hear Clint begin to tell the story about this picture that I believe is going to encourage some of you today. That even in the midst of what you're walking through today, and maybe some of those things seem hopeless, and it just seems like, God, when are you going to show up, and how could you take this and turn it into something beautiful? That you need to be encouraged today that God is not ashamed or afraid of your problems or your pain. He's present even in the midst of it all, and he's leading you towards a promise that he has for your life. Amen? Yes, well, Clint Kiefer is my good friend. He serves as an elder in this church. Clint and Sarah and their kids are just amazing people of God. And many of you are blessed to know them. And if you don't know them, come to that lunch today. Get to meet them and know them. But amazing people of God, great friends. And I'm excited to welcome to the platform this morning to share a little bit of this testimony behind this picture. Come on, put your hands together for Elder Clint Kiefer. Come on. Hey, I love you, bro.
Are we on? All right. Thank you, Pastor Thomas. Pastor Thomas, he called me a couple weeks ago and asked me if I'd be willing to share this story. I was like, yeah, sure, that'd be good. And we hang up the phone and I pause and I start to realize, what have I gotten myself into? Now, Elder Woody, he was good this morning. He encouraged me. He said, now, Clint, there's one thing I always tell everybody before they get up there and speak. Just one thing to remember, don't screw up. So I'm encouraged. I'm going to try real hard not to screw this up. I know I'm going to stretch some of you this morning, and I'm okay with that. But when I finish here, if you still don't believe me, I just have to ask you, well, what was my motive? I'm not a paid actor. That's easy. Here's my motive. Can we get that Romans 15:13 up there, please? See, I remember who I was when I was a younger man. And I was not overflowing with hope, let me tell you. So on any chance at all that I could encourage any one of you or several of you this morning to get some hope, you're the reason why I'm up here this morning. I'm going to start this story back in 2004. My wife and I were newlyweds, and I'm not exactly sure how we figured this all out, but we figured out, wait a minute, how'd you get that t-shirt? Well, I don't know, how'd you get that t-shirt? That's my t-shirt. We each had the same t-shirt from the same road race that had occurred many years ago. how's that happen, son? Thinking back, well, that was the Free State Run. That was, okay, let me think. That was the summer after my freshman year of college. That was summer of 1991. I had to really think this up. And that Free State Run, it was out at the Holodome. It started and finished at the Holodome, which is now the Doubletree Hotel. So if you're going north on Iowa Street and you go under that 6th Street Tunnel, go a couple blocks, it's on the east side or your right-hand side. I'm going to come back there here in a little bit. But that freshman year of college was not my best year. Probably the worst year of my life, if I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. But I had I'd gotten a phone call from an old high school buddy. His name's Chris Sink. Chris was clever, witty, very, very smart. He's a college professor. Last I knew, he was a college professor. Now, Chris, here's what's significant. Chris was very, very shy. He was an introvert. I mean, he just didn't speak much. He and I were good friends. We ran cross country all through high school and had a lot of classes together. We were buds, but he didn't call me once in high school. I just know he didn't. Well, he calls me this summer after my freshman year of college. This is before texting, before email, before cell phones. I think, man, I had to. I know Chris, and I know it was really hard for him to pick up the phone and call me. So I call him back, and he's inviting me to this road race. Okay, I'm out of shape. I haven't been running. Fun run? Doesn't sound like fun. I'll think about it, Chris. So I figured we were done. He's not going to call me back. If he didn't call me twice, he called me three times to invite me to this road race. I'm like, finally get to the place. I'm like, all right, it's going to be easier for me to just run every day for a couple weeks to get physically able to run this race and finish it than it would be to tell Chris no. I just didn't have the heart to tell Chris no because I knew how hard it was for him to call me up and ask me for that or ask or invite me to that race. So anyway, back to the Holodome. Gun goes off. I'm going kind of easy, not trying to kill myself because I hadn't raced in a while, you know, and I get going. I don't know if I'm a half mile or if I'm a mile into this race. And I start noticing these little kids are running. Like, good grief, man. These kids are fast. What in the world is going on? I mean, I wasn't a superstar in high school, but I was a decent runner. It shouldn't have taken me a half or even a mile to start catching these kids. You know, that was memorable, okay? Things like that you remember. So if you don't know where this is headed, I'm almost 10 years older than my wife. And she was one of those little kids. So what do you do with a story like that, right? It's something you just kind of keep to yourselves. It's not like you're going to get up in front of the whole church and tell that to people someday. But a couple years goes by. It's, I think, 2006, and we're having dinner with my incredible mother-in-law, who's amazing. She's awesome. Kay Payne right here in the red jacket. Wave, Kay. She's never heard about this road race. She didn't know about the T-shirt or any of this stuff. And so she's hearing it for the first time, and she's kind of intrigued. Well, those kids, they were fast because they did go to a lot of road races. They went to a lot of them, and Mom took them to all of them, and she took pictures at all of them. And she got to thinking, well, when could this have been? And we hadn't figured out the year by this time. But anyway, she goes home. She's doing some research. She goes, this lady's organized. I think that's where my wife got it from, but she goes to the safety deposit box where she's got all these pictures and the photo negatives in chronological order, and she finds a little stack of pictures that she thinks were taken in Lawrence, Kansas, back in the early 90s, and there's some Holodome some or other. And so, anyway, this is one of the pictures that she found. You might need to dim the lights just for a little bit so we can see it, but that's me, and that blonde in the yellow shirt is my loyal, faithful, hardworking, unselfish, smoking hot wife when she was 10. And I know you're all thinking it, so we'll just get it out of the way. I didn't get her phone number for another 12 years. All right. And she was fast. A year after that picture was taken, she was national champion in her age group, AAU cross-country champion. So I wasn't confused on that detail. Now, for those of you who think, well, okay, that's a nice story, but come on, Clint, it's just a coincidence. If you don't see the hand of God in this, I'll pray for you later. But my friend who invited me, he's sitting over here. We could have swapped spots. I could have been sitting to his left. I sat to his right. The pictures we've got of Sarah's brothers, I'm cut off in one. I'm looking the other way in the other. Coincidence? No way. No way. That's not a coincidence. Well, even still, nice story, Clint. Why don't you go ahead and sit down and give the mic back to Pastor Thomas. We need some preaching. If I was smart, I'd probably do that. But I haven't been accused of that in a while, so... yes, there is more to the story, and here's where I make myself a little more vulnerable, but stick with me, if you will. When I look at this picture, there's three things. I can pull a lot out of this picture, but three main things really stand out to me. Number one, I see who I used to be. I see a hard-headed, selfish, prideful, arrogant young man who had a lot to learn. And God was going to use a lot of hard and painful lessons to get him there. That's one thing that I see. And as a side note, if God has something to teach you, baby, he will teach you. He will teach you, I'm telling you. And there's the easy way, read your Bible and go to church. And there's the hard way. And sometimes we get hard lessons even when we're reading our Bible and going to church. You hear me? Second thing, I see the mercy of God in this picture. I see a kid who didn't earn it, didn't deserve it. I see the mercy of God's perfect timing. If I'd have known in 1991 what I knew in 2004, that just doesn't even compute. I mean, you just can't, never would have worked. That kid wouldn't have learned the things that he needed to learn. You know what I'm saying? But you know how when you see an old picture, as I was in 2006, seeing this for the first time, you start to remember things. You go back, your mind goes back, and you start to remember that day. And you start to remember what clothes you were wearing. You remember what car you drove. I remember that 78 Olds Delta 88 that I got from my grandparents that I drove to the race that day. And I remember driving that car as I was leaving and going down McDonald Drive before it turns into Iowa and before it gets to that tunnel going under 6th Street. And I remember what I was praying. How do you remember a prayer for 15 years ago? Well, Holy Spirit does that. I'm telling you, it's not something I could have remembered on my own. I'm 19 going on 20 in this picture. And to give you some context here, my parents, when they were 19 going on 20, they were married and they had a one-year-old. I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have an ex-girlfriend. I didn't have any prospects. I was going to die single and lonely, and nobody was ever going to love me. I was backed into a corner, all right? Let me tell you something. Satan is a liar. And he will lie to you and lie to you and feed you lies and lies and lies. As long as you'll eat them, he'll keep feeding them to you. You need to tell Satan to shut up. Seriously, is this you right here? Can you relate to this? Have you been listening to the devil's lies? Has he been feeding you lies? Is your hope running on fumes? Is your faith running out of rope? Stick with me here now. Just stick with me. You're the reason I'm up here this morning. I want to encourage you with something. I promise you this is true. I'm back in my car. I've left the race. I'm headed home. And I'm praying just to myself, quietly, not out loud. Nobody else in the car. Radio's not on. I'm just praying. And I pray, Lord, even if I'm not ready to be married, I know I'm in college. I got stuff I've got to get done, but if you could just give me some hope, if you could even meet me, if I could even meet or even see my future wife, boom, immediately, my prayer was interrupted. And at that moment, a thought came up for me that was not my own thought. That was her back there. And in my mind, just myself, I'm quietly, I said, who? And right as I'm about to enter that tunnel, yes, that's the little girl. When I said who, I knew immediately. I didn't speak to her. I didn't know her name. I didn't know where she was from. That little girl's picture came into my mind. You know what I said? My prayer wasn't silent anymore. I spoke up. This is exactly what I said. I remember it. Yeah, right. That didn't work out for Zechariah, and it didn't work out for Abraham and Sarah, so did it work out? Well, you know. So fast forward to 2006, when I'm seeing this picture for the first time, recollecting that morning, that interaction with the Holy Spirit. Do you think that shook me a little bit? Oh, yeah, it shook me a lot. Did it transform my faith? The Lord had taught me a lot over the years, but this sealed some things. This was significant. This picture, it's a gift. It's framed. We got it hanging up in the house. It's precious to us, but it's not an altar. You know, it's not enough. I still got to read my Bible, pray, and go to church. You hear what I'm saying? But I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Jeremiah 29:11. We got this framed at home, and around the picture, we've got this verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You see, I remember when I was younger, my faith was running on fumes, and I was at the edge of giving up and making a very, very poor decision, doing something really stupid, because I didn't know the plans he had for me, and candidly, I didn't trust him. I sure wasn't living out Romans 15:13. Can we get those other pictures up quickly, please? Yeah, I would have missed this. I would have missed this. And I would have missed this. What blows my mind, though, God always had these pictures. He always had them. That version of me in 1991, he couldn't have handled it. He wasn't ready. He had some growing up to do. Third thing that really stands out is, what other snapshots does the Lord have of me? How many other pictures does he have? Where he saved me, where he protected me, when he provided for me, when he did something awesome for me, maybe did something for me that I didn't even know anything about, and he didn't get the credit. I think he's got a lot of material on me. How about you? You think he's got any material on you? What snapshots, pictures, moments, memories, promises do you have stored away? Anything significant? Is there anything God's doing in your life or going to be doing in your life? In months? In years? Is there something you need to learn? Is there something God's trying to teach you? Is there something he needs to teach you before he can take you to the next in your life? If you don't know, ask him. Ask him. Before he has to tell you, ask him. As I close, I want to encourage you with this. When I was 6, and I might have been 7, I had a conversation with my mom. My 2-year-old brother had recently died, and I was having a hard time with that. And questioning if God even existed. I told my mom that I wanted to see God. You get that? I wanted to see God. I'm a little kid. She said, well, pray. Just pray. Ask God for that. Maybe you will see him. Church, he's answered that prayer too. Time and time again, I am a witness. For me to not believe is not an option. I've seen the Lord's hand at work in my life over and over again. I know he is real. I know he's a good, good God. I know he loves me. I know he wants what's best for me. And the same is true for you. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. He cares about you so much. Even in rough times. Been there, done that. He gives us hope. Even after losing a loved one. Been there, done that. He gives us hope. Even when you think you've lost all hope and all faith. Been there, done that. He gives us hope. He is the giver of love, hope, joy, and peace. Just one condition. It's a verse Pastor Thomas has already referred to in this series, Matthew 6:33. There's a song, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. And our kids say, Matthew 6:33. I wasn't going to sing that, but there it is. It's a good verse. It's a good verse. Say it, sing it, repeat it, memorize it. Jeremiah 29:11. It's a good verse. Say it, repeat it, memorize it. Stick it on the bathroom mirror if you need to. If that helps you, get it down in your heart, get it down in your core. Make it immovable and unforgettable. In Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
We love you, bro. Well done. What picture is there in your life that you need to look again? You need to take it out and you need to look again. You remember a one way. But now that you've been through some things, now that you're where you are today, if you go back to the archives and you get out some things that you might remember one way, you'd have a different perspective today. You would see that God was present in the midst of that moment where you felt hopeless. You didn't see how God could ever get you to some things. The dream in your heart, the hope in your heart, the desire of your heart. It felt like you were so far from it. You were at the end of your rope, not knowing where to turn. God, how can you get me there? But now you look at it and say, God, I see that in that moment where the enemy was trying to keep me so fixed and focused on my pain and on my discouragement and on the hopelessness, that you were actually there. You were there in the midst of my pain. Come on, it's the truth. God is in the presence of your enemies. He's peace in the midst of the storm. He's not waiting for everything to begin to line up in your life, and then he's going to show up. He's with you today in the dark moments, in the difficult moments, in the moments where there's doubt. Come on, are you there in Romans chapter 4 where I asked you to turn earlier? And this is talking about Abraham. And it says in verse 18, it says, against all hope. I'm reading from the NIV. The NLT, the New Living Translation, says, even when there was no reason for hope. Even when the circumstances would say, there's no reason to even continue to hope. It's over. It's done. You missed the boat. You missed the mark. You stumbled and failed. You messed up, and now God can't use you. It says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Check this. This next scripture is powerful. It's powerful and it's amazing. Watch what it says. It says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised he would do. And it was credited to Abraham as righteousness. It says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Can I just tell you? Faith does not require you to lay down the facts. Faith is not something that's just feel-good hopes and wishes upon a star. Come on, faith does not require you to lay down the facts. The fact was, it says, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was well beyond the age for bearing children. It says he faced the fact without wavering in his faith. And I'm telling you today, there might be some facts that you're up against. There's some real challenges, some real problems, some real setbacks, some real shortcomings that you have in your life. You might look at it and say, these are the facts, Pastor T. And I'm telling you that faith in a good God trumps sometimes the facts of your life. That you don't have to lay it down. You don't have to turn a blind eye. You can take it on. It says he faced the fact. He took a hold of it. And he said, it might look this way today, but I have a God who promised something and spoke something into my life. And I'm holding on to the fact that he's able to do what he promised in spite of the facts. Amen? I'm telling you today, some of you are up against some things. And God is able, he's more than able to move in your life and your situation. He's able to move in your circumstances. Against all hope, when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. So where's there an area of your life where you need hope restored? Where's there an area of your life where you need God to do like Miss Kay did and go and dig out that picture and say, you know what? You remember it this way. You remember, you need to shift your perspective. You remember, you're acquainted with the pain of that moment. But I'm telling you that even in that moment when you were experiencing the pain and the hopelessness and the discouragement or the despair or the doubt or even the depression, when you were in that moment and you were having the suicidal thoughts, when you were in that moment and you were having those thoughts of insignificance and hopelessness, even in that moment, I want to show you, look right here. From this perspective, now you look back and you see, Lord, you were there with me. You were in that moment. You were connecting me to the promises that you had in mind, because your thoughts are higher than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. I see in part, but you're writing a story in my life, and I'm not going to allow myself to get stuck in a difficult or a painful chapter. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come and just get me to be stuck on a moment. Come on, the enemy, that's what he does. He'll come, and he'll take a snapshot of your life, and he'll say, see, God can't use you anymore. See, God isn't who he said he is. It started right from the beginning. When the enemy of our soul came, when Adam and Eve had blown it, the enemy came and said, did God really say? And the reality was that they had access to all the trees of the garden. It was a marvelous place. And they had opportunity and invitation to walk in the cool of day in the presence of God. But the enemy came and pointed out the one thing that God had restricted them from and said, did God really say? And I'm just telling you, there's some of us that we need to remember some things differently. There's some of us to get from the place that we are today to the place of promise and provision that God has for us. God needs to come, and I believe he's going to do it today, and enter into that place where we become tied, we become bound, we become anchored to a pain or to a problem. And today he wants to shift your perspective and remind you, I'm a faithful God. And I was there in that moment of your pain. And I'm there in that moment, right here, right now, real time, with you, in the moment of doubt and hopelessness. And I'm faithful, and I'm good, and my mercy and my love, it endures forever, and I'm going to get you to the thing. I'm going to get you to the person. I'm going to get you to that place. I'm going to get you to that promise. But you know what I think is amazing? Even in the midst of Clint's doubt and discouragement and despair and hopelessness that he was facing about that situation, he continued to pray. He continued to pray. And again, going back to Genesis chapter 3, whenever Adam and Eve had fallen, what did they do? They hid from God. They hid from God. But you remember what God's response was as he walked through the garden in the cool of the day? Remember what he did? He called out to them and he said, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And I believe today that God's calling out to some of us, where are you? Listen, when we have pain or problems, the enemy comes and tries to get us to hide ourselves or to run from God. And the invitation of God is just come and bring it to me. Cast your cares, cast your worries, cast your fears, cast your anxieties upon me, for I care for you. I'm not scared of your pain. I'm not scared of the dirt of your life. I'm not scared of the problems of your life. Bring it to me. Listen, when the enemy is trying to separate us from God, and God's saying, come to me. And I believe today there's some people that have pain, have a problem. You have despair, you have hopelessness, and today there's an invitation in a fresh and new way to bring it and introduce it into the presence of a good God. Begin to say, God, I'm going to begin to present it to you. Would you come and would you heal my heart? Would you come and would you remind me of some of the ways that even in the midst of that season, you were faithful and you were working and you were leading and you were preparing and you were shaping me for what you had for me in my life? Okay, Lord, come on. If every head bowed and every eye closed, just to reflect and meditate upon the Lord and upon his goodness. And if that's you this morning, there's an area of your life where you're currently experiencing hopelessness or despair or doubt about, will God really show up and do what he said that he would do? Today you would say, Pastor T, I'm more acquainted with the pain of the problem than I am with the hope of the promise. God, in any area of your life, a hope, a dream, something God's called you to, something that you've desired for in your life, any area of your life, if that's you, I want to invite you to just stand to your feet. If that's you, any area of your life where you're more acquainted with the pain or the problem than you are the hope of the promise. Any area of your life where you're doubting, God, will you really do what you said you'll do? Right there where you're standing in courage and in faith, I want you to just lift your hands before the Lord as just a sign of just presenting it before God. And also preparing yourself to receive from him today. Lord, you did say, cast our cares, cast our worries, cast our anxieties upon you because you care for us. And Lord, what you see through these precious people standing and lifting their hands is an acknowledgement of some things. It's a facing of the facts in some ways. But Lord, I thank you that we don't have to shrink back. We can admit the situation, the difficulty, the pain, the doubt. And that you don't require us to forsake those things. You just ask us to present them before you. And I pray today, God, that you would come and enter into every one of these stories, every one of these images, every one of what you're standing to represent, that God, you would come today and you would enter into that place and you would begin to speak, that you would begin to remind, that you would begin to reveal, that you would begin to stir faith, that you would begin to restore hope to these precious people in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind them, Lord, of some ways that you've been faithful and seen them through some things. Remind them, Lord, of some things that you've spared them of. Remind them, Lord, of the way that you've moved in their life. And enemy, we say, we silence you in the name of Jesus. When you come and you lie and you deceive and you try to lead us astray and you try to accuse us against God and God to us, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And we replace those thoughts and that mentality with a reminder that we serve a good God and a faithful God who does indeed have a hope and a future for us in every area of our life. Come on, and all of God's people said, amen.